Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Yes, a massive thank you for choosing U105. We really do appreciate it. Now, would you choose a job in tourism and hospitality? They are finding it difficult, those who are the employers in the sector, finding it difficult to get the staff they need. I want to speak to David Roberts, who is associated with Tourism NI. David, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah, thank you for joining us on the programme. What is the problem? Obviously, critics will say they're not paying enough. If they paid more, they would get staff. Is that simplifying it? Is that unfair?
I think that is now a little bit unfair, Frank. I think the industry is kind of changing. Certainly since COVID, many sectors have struggled to get the people that they need. And I think where we are in relation to tourism and hospitality, I think we are seeing the industry changing. We are seeing more businesses offering competitive rates of pay, pay progression, flexible working hours, instructor training. So I think businesses are, I think, recognising that they do need to change it. They do need to kind of be more attractive employers. And I think we're then sort of seeing that in the uptake of employment within the sector.
What sort of staff are you missing out on? And how much of an impact did Brexit have on this? Because there used to be a lot of young Polish and Lithuanian people serving at tables. You don't seem to come across them as readily now.
No, I think Brexit has had sort of some impact. But I think the key thing about tourism and hospitality is that, I mean, it really offers opportunities for people right across the age spectrum and right across all sort of levels of qualification and all kind of types of people. So you're right. I mean, it has always been a sector that's taken a number of young people in. And there's great opportunities, I think, for school leavers who want a career path. And it's a great sector for people to progress really quickly. I think what we're also seeing is that it's also a sector that offers a lot of opportunities for part-time work for people who are possibly retired and maybe looking to come back into work, or even people who are just looking for a career change and looking to get into something different. So I think it really does kind of offer, you know, something for everybody, as I say, right across the whole spectrum of the workforce.
Is there an element of the problem with the mindset of the punter, that he or she isn't really going out as much as they used to? Because you touched on that in terms of your opening comments.
Well, I think, I mean, certainly from a tourism perspective, you know, there has been a very kind of sort of strong recovery, and certainly, you know, we've kind of bounced back much more kind of quickly than I think many kind of people hoped when we were, you know, in a very, very difficult sort of period sort of during the pandemic. And I think what for us is kind of most important is, you know, the welcome that people get when they come here is one of the top two or three things that they kind of comment on and feedback on. So it's always something that comes out really, really positively in terms of the experience that people have. So clearly, we're really keen that we get as many people to, you know, to come into the industry, to stay in the industry, to give, you know, both locals and visitors, you know, that sort of top quality experience. Because genuinely, you know, it does make someone's day if you go out to a restaurant, or you're out in a hotel, or you're out in a visitor attraction, and you do have a great experience. So for us, you know, having that kind of fully motivated, engaged workforce is really key, both in terms of, you know, providing employment opportunities, but also, you know, giving the experience that we know visitors want and expect.
And are you looking for staff right across the board? Are you looking for high-end chefs? Are you looking for people who make sure the kitchen is clean? Are you looking for those who dress the bedrooms? Are you searching for bar operatives and bouncers on the door, hotel managers? Are you looking for every sector within the hospitality game? Or is there some particular jobs that you simply can't fill, the less glamorous ones?
Well, I think there are opportunities right across all of those kind of roles that you mentioned there, Frank. I mean, I think there's obviously been some particular kind of pinch points around chefs, for example. So, you know, certainly anybody that's, you know, looking to, you know, get into kind of catering and into, you know, becoming a chef or growing their catering skills will absolutely, you know, have a range of opportunities to look at. But I think what we kind of see is that there's job roles right across the piece. And as part of this campaign, what we've done is we've developed a dedicated website called www.makeyourcareer.co.uk. And that's a kind of one-stop shop for all of those great opportunities. So for anybody listening to the show this morning that is sort of keen to see what is out there, I would encourage them to go to that website and see the range of opportunities that are there.
Do you think people are getting a bit lazy, that they're not prepared to work in a sector which can be demanding, incredibly rewarding, but demanding? Because back in the 80s and 90s, I knew so many people who were involved in hospitality in some capacity, and they worked so hard, but they thoroughly found it rewarding and satisfying. Is there an element now within the mindset of the human being locally that they don't want to be waiting on other people?
Well, I think it's interesting. What we kind of found most recently when we asked people about what they wanted out of a career in the sector, they mentioned three things. They talked about job security. They talked about being valued and respected by their employer. But then they also talked about being able to take time off kind of when they wanted. And I think certainly where we sort of see many kind of businesses sort of making really good progress is around, you know, the flexibility of the working hours, is around, you know, the range of rotas that they can offer for different staff. So I think certainly, you know, there is definitely the extent to which businesses, I think, are reflecting the fact that the labour market has kind of sort of changed, and that it is about, you know, building, you know, a culture and an ethos within their business around, you know, the team that they have and the people that work for them.
Because I notice there's a lot of readjusting happening. For example, Michael Dean, one of the best known names, I suppose, in hospitality, he is closing Epic, which is one of the leading restaurants, and he's going to readjust. He's going to bring us a different format. But he's more or less accepting that the money isn't there to be paying high-end prices. So are we all going to have to downgrade slightly?
Well, I think, you know, we're still going to have, you know, a very, very good number of, you know, kind of restaurant and other hospitality options in Belfast. And I think, yes, you know, clearly the market is changing, and, you know, the cost of living has had an impact on, you know, on the ability of, you know, some people to, you know, have the levels of discretionary expenditure that they might have had in the past. And I think, you know, we are sort of seeing that, you know, more and more people are focused on kind of value for money options, possibly in a way that they might not have been historically. But I think for us, that's where, you know, Belfast, Northern Ireland more broadly does, you know, tick many of the boxes, because I think it is still a very, very good value for money destination, you know, and a very good place where people will, you know, get a very, very high quality experience, you know, for the money that they spend.
And just a simple question about, I suppose not a simple to answer question, but it's a peripheral question relating to what we're talking about. But I've touched on this before, and those who've worked in hospitality came away from it because, for this reason, they couldn't get a taxi when they were finished to get home. They found it very difficult to get home, or the public transport wasn't on late enough for them to get home. Is that a relevant part of the conversation?
Well, I think certainly the experience that we would kind of, and feedback that we would get from, you know, kind of from visitors and others, is that I think that position has, I think it has improved quite significantly from, you know, from where it was kind of post-COVID. And I think it's been well documented that there was, you know, a significant reduction in the number of kind of taxi drivers available, you know, in Belfast and in some of our other some of other towns. So I think that position has kind of stabilised, but clearly we are keen to, you know, work with taxi partners, work with kind of Translink and others around how we, you know, enhance the ability of kind of people to get, you know, in and out of the city centre in particular, in the evenings and at weekends, because, you know, we want the city centre to be as vibrant and as level as possible, and clearly, you know, enabling people to get in and out is a big part of that.
Yeah, because you can't have a buoyant tourism sector without a taxi industry that's vibrant, and a public service, a transport a sector that's also going from strength to strength. All of it is relevant, and all of it is intertwined. And just finally, David, in relation to those who you're appealing to, you touched on the part-time staff, and there are many students who, of course, will be turning a pound at working in hospitality because they need to. It may not be because they want to, but they need to. Is there a difference between targeting those hard-working young people who are prepared to get involved on a floor for maybe 3 years? Is there a difference between targeting those individuals and aiming for the people who are going to make a full career out of it by taking the first steps towards your website?
Well, I think, the opportunities that are available on the makeyourcareer.co.uk website, are a mix. So yes, so there will be some kind of part-time opportunities there, but there will be a very large number of kind of full career opportunities as well. And I think the other thing for us is that, you know, yes, kind of part-time, a big element of that is, as you say, kind of young people possibly, you know, who are at university and they're looking to kind of, you know, generate some extra income for themselves. But there's also significant numbers of kind of part-time people who are, you know, older within the workforce, possibly individuals who are coming back and to work, you know, following a family or kind of caring responsibilities. And as I said, I think we're also seeing, you know, examples of lots of kind of older people that possibly would have had a full-time career in something else, you know, kind of moving into the sector, you know, on a part-time basis as well. So I think, you know, what the website does and what the kind of campaign does is really trying to kind of appeal to kind of all of those different target groups within the labour market.
Just one final question, David. It's unrelated to trying to generate staff, but I've written a bit about it in the Belfast Telegraph this week, and I've someone from Tourism NI on the end of the phone, so I'm darn sure you'll be able to give me a steer on this. Hope Street, which is the TV programme that's shot in Donaghadee, is that proving to be beneficial in relation to tourism? Because the imagery that we see coming out of Donaghadee, for me, is breathtaking.
It is, and I think, you know, we've done lots of really good work, both ourselves and colleagues in sort of Tourism Ireland, to kind of sort of take, you know, to sort of take the opportunities that are coming out of those particular productions, you know, that are filmed here in Northern Ireland. And we know that stuff, you know, kind of screening related tourism has been a significant kind of growth area for us, and, you know, not just sort of going back to kind of obviously Game of Thrones, and although that's still a very big part of it, but also some of those other kind of productions. So yes, absolutely. You know, the coverage and the fantastic imagery that comes out of programmes like Hope Street, yeah, is a big part of how we would look to promote, you know, visits and further tourism into Northern Ireland.
Absolutely, if we're going to have more tourists, we're going to need more staff. So, what's the website address again?
So let me give it to you again, Frank. So it's www.makeyourcareer.co.uk.
Makeyourcareer.co.uk, and you could be off and running in tourism and hospitality. David, thanks for bringing us up to date. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
That's David Roberts. He's from Tourism NI, and maybe that's where your future lies. This is the U105 phone-in.